Please get your Bibles and turn them to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we want to read verses 8 through 10. Let's hear God's word. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then let's read Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verses 1-3. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now, instead of reading James chapter 1, let's read Psalm 81 instead. Psalm 81, verses 8 through 11. Psalm 81. Verse 8, "Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me." That's for the reading of God's holy word, and may the Lord bless the reading of His word in our hearts. If you are visiting with us, we have been studying the elements of our public worship service as listed in our order of worship. We started with call to worship, and now we are going to consider the message or the preaching of God's word, which is the longest portion of our worship service. It is also undoubtedly the most important part of our worship service. During the message, God's word is being preached to us. That means God Himself is speaking to us through His word using the minister of the gospel. You see, the preaching of God's word is God's primary means to save sinners and sanctify the saints. That's why I take the preaching of God's word seriously, because that's God's ordinary, primary means of grace. The message is also the most difficult aspect of our worship service, not only for the pastor preaching, but also for the members of the church listening to the message. You see, during the message, two things are happening simultaneously. God is speaking to us through His word using the preacher. And we are listening to God. We are responding to His message. And listening to God's message is a hard work. Imagine you are listening to God, to His word, to the preaching of His word, for at least 30 minutes. That's not easy. And needless to say, we all struggle with listening. How often when someone is talking to you and the person is not yet done talking to you, you interrupt the person right away, and that person will say to you, "Can you please listen to me first?" That shows that we are not good listeners. And I'm afraid to say that many of us do not even know how to listen, especially to the word of God. Have you ever wondered why God gave us two ears but only one tongue? Some people say that's because God wanted us to spend twice as much time listening as talking. Others suggest it's because God knew listening was twice as hard as talking. And indeed, listening is not an easy task. And so with God's help, this morning, we want to learn how to listen well to the preaching of God's word. That's our theme in this message, listening to a sermon. When I was in the Philippines, I took a course on how to prepare a sermon and another course on how to deliver or preach a sermon. But there was no course on how to listen to a sermon in the seminary. I even remember when I was in the Philippines, I took a class called Speech Power. And that class was intended to help you be a good speaker, public speaker, to learn the art of speaking publicly, because it is a skill, it is an art. But there was no class on how to listen well. I don't know if you ever took a course on how to listen well, let alone how to listen to a sermon. Perhaps you have never heard a message on that theme or a subject either. And so, with that, I have been compelled to deliver a message on this very topic, how to listen to a sermon well. And I will give you 10 points. 10 points, they are short, and so don't worry if we cannot cover them on time, we can always have part two. I'm still here, so that's not a problem. So here's the first one. So in response to the question, how should we listen to God's word? How to listen to a sermon? Well, first of all, listen prayerfully. Prayerfully. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, we read that God spoke to Samuel. And Samuel said to God, "Speak, for your servant hears," or "for your servant is listening." Now, that is a prayer. Here, Samuel is praying to God. He is asking God to speak to him and that he will listen to him in response. And so I suggest that we pray before we listen to God's word, during the message, and after the message. Now, how does it work? Well, first of all, we can pray before listening to a sermon. I don't know how many of you pray to God before coming to church, before listening to a message. Do you ever pray to God asking Him that He would speak to your heart? That He would make His will or message plain and clear to you as you are listening to His word? But pray also during the message. Again, it sounds weird. How can you do that? Are we not supposed to listen well? How can I pray during the message then? Well, it works this way, and this has been my practice. Let's say you are listening to a message. You can say, "Lord, first of all, Lord, thank you so much for speaking to me from your word. I really need to hear your voice this morning. Lord, thank you for comforting me." Perhaps part of the sermon is about a promise of God that He will not leave you nor forsake you. And lo, I am with you always. And maybe you felt abandoned by God, but upon hearing that promise of God, you became strengthened. You got empowered spiritually by that verse. And so you say to the Lord silently as you are listening to the message, "Lord, thank you so much for comforting me." Or perhaps part of that message is the preaching about sin, and that sin is your maybe darling sin. And you have been praying to the Lord that you would really forsake that sin, and you really find it hard, and the Lord speaks to you, convicting you of your sin. And so as you are listening to the message, you can say, "Lord, you pricked my heart. Oh Lord, you convicted me of my sin. Lord, I really hate this sin. Lord, please give me grace to forsake this sin." But of course, you do that silently. So pray during the message. "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin." And pray also after the message. We do that. The preacher does it. He prays right after the preaching of God's word. You can do the same. Pray silently. Maybe use the postlude. Before you exit this sanctuary, you are given at least maybe 15 seconds or 30 seconds. Pray to the Lord. Thank Him. Say, "Lord, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for strengthening my soul. You get my point." Sprinkle the message with your prayer. You see, prayer is like a spice adding flavor to the message of God. Could it be that sometimes God's word is not tasty to you, and that's because you don't sprinkle it with that spice of prayer? You pray before the message, during the message, and after the message. I guarantee you, by the grace of God, the message will become so sweet to your hearing, so tasty, that you will want to devour it. It will become sweeter than honey. Secondly, so how to listen to God's word? Yes, prayerfully, but also preparedly. Preparedly. In other words, we need to be prepared for the preaching of God's word. Now, keep in mind that the preaching of God's word is the most demanding section of our worship service. It demands mental, emotional, physical and spiritual energy, yes, from the pastor who is preaching, but also from the members of the church who are listening to the sermon. Preaching for the pastor is very exhausting. One minister said, it has been estimated that preaching just one sermon is the equivalent of a full 8-hour work day. Pastors who preach two sermons are working the equivalent of a 24-hour day in one day. Now, if it is exhausting to prepare a sermon, and by the way, according to Tom Rainer, who did some study on how much time do pastors spend preparing a sermon, he came up with this conclusion that the average amount of time it takes a pastor to prepare each sermon is between 13 and 15 hours. So if you have two sermons, between 26 and 30 hours, not to mention the delivery of the sermon. It is exhausting for the minister to preach. That's why Sunday evening, he's done. He just wants to rest. But if it is exhausting for the minister to preach, it is also exhausting for you who are listening to the message. And for that reason, it is wise that we prepare before we engage in the hearing of God's word. Think about this. You are sitting there for at least 30 minutes to listen to God's word. Our culture, our society, our generation will tell you, don't do that. That's too long. Listening is very demanding. That's why we need to prepare. Yes, spiritually, but also physically. Like what I said before I read the law of God, God had asked, remember, His people to first be prepared for the hearing of God's law. And I sometimes wonder how many of us come prepared to the preaching of God's word. And what kind of preparation do we do before hearing God's message? Maybe to borrow the concept of physical exercise, we need to have some spiritual warm-up on Saturday. Stretch your soul before engaging in the hearing of God's word. Do it maybe on Saturday. Of course, we prepare during the week, but more so on Saturday before we do heavy lifting, as it were. We need to condition our soul. God's people took them 3 days of preparation before they heard the word of God's law. And also we need to prepare physically. Because think about this. What do you use when you listen to God's word? You use your ears. You use your eyes. You are looking at me. You are hearing God's word. And you are using your brain. Your brain to understand what is being preached to you. And so listening to God's word demands not only spiritual energy, but also physical energy. That's why I suggest that before Sunday comes, use Saturday, maybe evening, to prepare for worship service. Don't go to bed late. And I think the fathers have that special responsibility to ensure that their children do not go to bed late. Because if they do, then that will affect them. You know how often we ministers, we see some of our members nodding. And sometimes you think that they are showing their agreement to the message. But in reality, they are starting to fall asleep. And perhaps because he or she did not prepare well physically for the preaching of God's word. We need to be prepared. Yes, spiritually, but also physically. If you come with a tired, exhausted brain, your brain cannot function well. It cannot absorb the preaching of God's word. You will be prone to misinterpreting the message, taking it probably out of context because your brain is tired. And so I suggest that you sleep well before worship service. Third, so how to prepare? Yes, prayerfully, preparedly, but thirdly, patiently. Patiently. We said earlier that the preaching of God's word is the longest element of our worship service. And as such, it requires patience on our part as we listen to God's message. Sadly, our culture has made us less and less patient. We now live in the growing culture of impatience and instant gratification. And I'm afraid that this culture of instant gratification has now crept into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see many members wanting everything to be instant during worship service. Let's have an instant call to worship, silent prayer, votum, salutation, singing, reading of the law, assurance of pardon, congregational prayer, and especially the preaching of God's word. If possible, they would want their minister to send them an instant message because of the so-called instant messaging. You see, the generation in which we live is the so-called the I want it now generation. The I want it now generation. And this generation expects everything they do to be fast, easy, and convenient. It has to be fast. It has to be easy. Now, listening to God's word is not an easy task. But our generation will say, make it then easier for us. But it is a hard work. It requires discipline on our part. Well, make it convenient. Make it convenient. And so really, the people who now live in this, the I want it now generation, and also the people who are now in this culture of instant gratification, they want to experience fulfillment or satisfaction without that willingness to pay the price. If only they can be fed instantly, they would do that. And so if only after listening to a message, like let's say in 5 minutes, then they would get everything that they want, they would feel fed, then maybe that's it. We don't need to go further that. It's like, you know, nowadays we have this Keurig, that instant coffee maker, that machine. You can have a cup of coffee in like 30 seconds or a minute, something like that. Now we want to apply that to our worship service. We lose our patience. And so we need to listen to God's word patiently. Now remember in the passage that we read, remember? Nehemiah chapter 8, look at your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. Especially verse 3. Ezra read from the book of the law, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday. Imagine that. From early morning until noon. But the people of God, they were listening with patience. They were not complaining. Of course, our culture will say, well, the message has to be only 15 minutes long. And that's really what you see nowadays in many churches. 15 minutes long, and the singing is probably 30 minutes. You have a drama and play on the stage, you name it. But the preaching of God's word has been shortened. We don't do that here in our church because we place great importance on the preaching of God's word. Fourthly, so how to listen to a sermon? Reverently, reverently. Remember, it is God Himself who is ultimately speaking to us. Nehemiah, in our passage again, chapter 8, verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. Now, why did they stand when the word of God was opened? To show respect, to show reverence to the word of God. Because you see, when the word of God is read to us, it is God Himself who is speaking to us directly. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we read, and when we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So when the point was, when Paul proclaimed the word of God to them, when he delivered the message of God to them, the Thessalonian believers, they did not receive that word as coming from Paul or other people, but as coming directly from God. And I pray that you would do the same when you hear a message from God's word. Receive it as coming from the Lord, because it is God Himself who is talking to you directly from His word. God is just using the minister. And who is this God who speaks to us? This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Most High and Holy God. He deserves our listening ears. He deserves respect and reverence from us. And so you don't dare sleep during the message. That's very disrespectful to God. When the king comes here, and as soon as he begins talking, you want to show respect. Yes, you may disagree with that king, but you want to show respect. Now, the King of Kings is speaking to us, this perfect God, the messenger. Imagine that. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Or one version puts it this way, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. There is a saying, when the king of the jungle speaks, everyone in the jungle listens to that king. And we can say, when the King of Kings speaks from His word, we must keep silence before Him and say, Lord, speak to me. I am listening to You, O Lord, with reverence. You know, to interrupt God while He is speaking to us is very disrespectful. You know what I noticed, and I'm not that old, and for sure the older members of this church probably have noticed a big difference now in our society. Many children today are very disrespectful to their parents, grandparents. Mom and daddy are talking. Here you have a child wanting to interrupt the parents. I remember, when I was in the Philippines, you don't do that. My mom would like She may not be wrong in doing that, but I got the point. She wanted me to be respectful. When old people are talking, you pay respect. You wait. You wait. Once they are done, then you talk. God is speaking to us. How are we listening to Him? Are we showing reverence to Him? Or maybe we try to interrupt Him in many ways by having a, maybe you're daydreaming now, or maybe you're starting to think of other things. What you're going to cook for lunch, or what you're going to prepare for Thanksgiving Day. God knows it. You cannot hide it from Him. He's all-knowing. And I think parents, we need to teach our children to be quiet at church. To teach them to sit nicely. To remind them that God is speaking to them also. Fifthly, how to listen to a sermon. Listen actively. Actively. Yes, in a sense, we are passive when we listen to God's word, which means we receive what God tells us to do. So in that sense, we are passive. But God also wants us to be active in the hearing of God's word. We need to participate in the message. Now, how do you do that? Well, let me illustrate my point here. My youngest child is now 16 months old, Abigail. Obviously, at that age, she can feed herself, but if you give her maybe a bowl of soup, she cannot feed herself properly. And so we assist her, we help her, we feed her with a spoon. Now, it is her part to open her mouth, swallow the food, or maybe first chew it, and swallow it, and digest it. I cannot do that for her. I can only feed her. She needs to participate actively in the process of eating. And the same is true. God is feeding us with His word during the preaching. Now, first of all, it is your responsibility to open your mouth wide open. If you come with a mouth shut, of course, I just said that we need to shut our mouth, but in a different context, to be quiet, to show reverence to Him. But now I'm talking in the context of receiving His message. We need to open our mouth, figuratively speaking, by the way, wide open so that God can feed us well. And it is also our responsibility to meditate on that word, like boys and girls, like a cow chewing grass. Or you probably had a bubble gum before. You know, I enjoy chewing bubble gum. I like it. And trust me, I'm not going to chew it out, spit it, that bubble gum, until I take everything from it, the juice. And that's precisely what God wants us to do. Don't leave the church until you are fed by the preaching of God's word. Chew it. The preacher cannot do that for you. Even God Himself cannot do it for you. You need to participate actively in the preaching of God's word. We need to be attentive. That's why, again, going back to our text, you can read that. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Their minds were not roaming around. Their minds were to the word of God attentively. And by the way, remember the context. Ezra was reading God's word from early morning until midday. But they were so attentive to the word of God because they knew God Himself was speaking to them. And so we also read in verse 8, look at your Bible, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading of God's law. So because they were listening attentively, they were able to understand the message of God. How often we quickly blame the minister for not explaining well the word of God or his text. And we say, yeah, it's not clear, the message, not well organized. But could it be the problem is you because you're not listening attentively to the preaching of God's word? And so you come home, when someone asks you, what did you learn from church? Of course, you know, you ask a child, what did you learn from church about God? I mean, that's true. But you need to provide a more detailed answer about that. What was the message about? What was the sense of the message? And we preachers, trust us, we try to explain the word of God as plain as we can. And that's my motto in preaching. I want it to be as clear as possible. But do your part also. Chew it, meditate on it, understand it. And say with the hymn writer, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. That should be our theme song as we listen to God's word. Lord, I'm opening my mouth wide open, Lord. Continue to feed me. Strengthen my soul until I want no more. Sixthly, how to listen to a sermon? Humbly. Humbly. In one of the passages that we read, Psalm 81, verse 8, we read, hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. That was God's complaint to his people. My own people, as I was speaking to them, they would not listen to me. They would not submit to me. They would not open their mouths. They were not humble. They were not teachable. They thought that they knew everything. And so as a result, they perished. As a result, because they did not listen to me, the other nations conquered them. You know, boys and girls, how often we experience a danger because we don't listen to our parents. Our parents told us many times, don't touch that. It's hot. If you touch that, you will get burned. Children did not listen. You know what happens next. And the same is true. We don't have that teachable hearts, humble spirit, willingness to listen to God's word. And so God's challenge to us is this. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Eighthly, how to listen to a sermon. Discerningly, discerningly. Here we can learn from the Bereans. Acts 17, verse 11, please read it. Acts 17, verse 11. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I like that. As the Bereans were listening to Paul, they were examining what Paul said to make sure that God's or Paul's message was in accordance with the entire message of God. And so we need to listen to God's word discerningly. Because the truth is, and you've known this for sure as your pastor, I am not perfect. That's your problem. You have a pastor, a preacher, who is prone to mistakes. My interpretation of God's word will not always be accurate. I can be wrong. And so your responsibility is to listen to the message discerningly. Now take note, discerningly, not critically. Not too critically. The Bereans, they were not too critical of Paul's message. They were not there to find mistakes or faults. No. They just wanted to make sure that what Paul said was in accordance with the word of God. And so you should be asking this question. As you listen to God's word, does this jive with the rest of God's word? Because no, there's no perfect preacher. But here's the problem too. There is no perfect listener either. Imagine that. No perfect preacher, no perfect listener. So we will all make mistakes. That's why I'm excited to be in the new heaven and new earth, because there we will experience perfection. But in the meantime, inside a local church, we will all struggle with this problem. But the challenge is we need to be discerning. And if you find a mistake, if you think that the pastor made a mistake in his interpretation, talk to him privately, I suggest. Privately. Don't do it on Sunday. Maybe not on Monday either. Let him rest. Do it on Tuesday, and you will get a better response from the pastor. Eighthly, how to listen to a sermon? Worshipfully. Worshipfully. Now think about this. The big part of our worship service is spent in listening. In listening. Yes, you sing, but the biggest part of our worship service is spent in listening to God. And therefore, we can say that a good worshiper is a good listener. You cannot be a good worshiper of God unless you become a good listener of God. You know, we may not realize this, but whenever you listen to God's message, you are worshiping God. Remember, the message is part of our worship service. Remember Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10, how Jesus commended Mary. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus in her house. And she said, or she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her, and that is, she sat down at my feet to listen to my message." Maybe you're so anxious about the coffee and cookies to prepare. That's wonderful, by the way. But we need to pay attention to the Word of God first, because it is our act of worship to God. And ninthly, how to listen to a sermon? Listen gratefully. Gratefully. Now, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a gap of time. We call it the intertestamental period. Intertestamental period. A period between two testaments. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Malachi and then Matthew. But actually, between the last prophet, Malachi, and John the Baptist. There was a silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between Micah and John the Baptist. 400 years of silence. And so many would refer to that period as the 400 silent years. Why? Because there were no prophets who spoke to the people of Israel during that period of time, the intertestamental period. Now imagine for 400 years, there was no message from God. There was no prophet. And that silence was broken by John the Baptist when he started proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he started preaching about Jesus, the silence was broken. Now, are we not thankful to the Lord that God is still speaking to us? What if one day God will say, I'm done with you, I will not talk to you anymore, I will not speak to you anymore? That would be horrible. You know, when something happens, let's say there is a problem, marital problem, you know, sometimes people, a couple would exercise abusive silence. They would not talk to each other. Or even within the church, you did this to me, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And that's horrible. You're not talking to me anymore. I want to talk to you. Nope, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Imagine if God does it to us. But praise be to God, He is still speaking to us. And we need to be thankful to Him for that. Say, Lord, thank you so much for the preaching of your word. Thank you that you are still pleased to speak to us. Hebrews 1 verse 1 and verse 2. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. And really, that's the blessing that we have. God is speaking to us by His Son, who is the Logos, who is the living Word, who is the exposition of God the Father. We can even say that Jesus is the message. We hear Jesus in the gospel. And we should be thankful to God for that. And finally, how to listen to a sermon? Listen expectantly. Listen with great expectation that God, first of all, will speak to you and that God will bless you with His word. And so in listening, we need to exercise our faith. Now, before you enter this sanctuary, you will say, I know the Lord is going to speak to me. He's going to speak to me. He's going to bless me with His word. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to comfort me. He's going to sanctify me. He's going to conform me to the image of His Son. Expectantly. Or maybe we come with no such expectation. That's why the Lord is not blessing us. Because you listen without faith. You're not trusting the Lord. And so as I end this message, a simple question to ask, are you a good listener of God's word? Remember the parable of the sower. In that parable, the sower is God, the seed is His word, and the four soils describe four kinds of hearers of God's word. There is a hearer whose heart is hard, a hearer whose heart is stony, a hearer whose heart is thorny, and a hearer whose heart is good. And what's fascinating is this. After explaining this parable, Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, listen now please. Jesus says to the crowd, take care then how you hear. In other words, be careful then how you listen. And I sometimes wonder if we really care how we listen to God's word. Maybe you simply don't care. Do you care? Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much too for teaching us how to be good listeners, how to be good hearers of your word. But Lord, as James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so now, Lord, help us to apply that which we have heard from you. Help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.